Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by Campbell's new chunky spicy soup. It's time to get fired up. Raptors finish the schedule at home with a lopsided loss. They started well. The Pacers did not play well to start the game, but as the game went on, it was pretty clear which side was better, which side was trending upwards, which side on the Raptors is very much in the, you know, let's just close out the year and just, you know, regroup after this one, and hopefully we avoid a repeat of how bad this season was. But they lose this game 140 to 123, the Raptors at home. Look, it's the last game of the season. You always want to do a little thank you thing. And I thought the crowd was actually quite good, quite engaged. You know, you heard lots of organic cheering, which is always really nice. And, you know, you saw a lot of fan giveaways, and that's all part of, you know, the thank you. And I think it was well done, you know, 40% off kind of discount codes and stuff like that. So for people to, you know, knock out the inventory, you know, just in general, they try to give it a good experience. But ultimately, the Raptors, in terms of the roster, in terms of just like who they've been all season, it kind of showed you here tonight, right? I mean, number one, obviously, you take Toronto's best player, you know, in the past few years, and Pascal Siakam. You take him to go to Indiana. You return, you know, Jordan Nwora. You return Bruce Brown. I mean, those guys actually played decently against their former club here. 16 for Bruce Brown, 11 for Jordan Nwora. Jordan Nwora, unfortunately, had to leave the game at the end there, so hopefully he's okay. But again, it might all just be whatever. There's like three more games left. But still, you swap him to the other side, it's obviously going to make a big difference. But at the same time, it wasn't even Pascal who was necessarily cooking them. Like, Pascal really had a good stretch to start the third quarter, where the Pacers won that quarter 41-27 to establish a huge amount of separation over Toronto. It had only been a one-point game at halftime, but that third quarter, Pascal was really able to get on the glass, really just attack, and not even do, you know, what we know for Pascal can do, which is all those turnaround jumpers or the spin moves or, you know, whatever. But you just saw him being aggressive around the rim, you know, blocking a couple of shots as well. And then, you know, you saw the Pacers in general just spread the Raptors out. You know, they started out bigger with the group, Pascal and Miles Turner. It was okay. Like, you know, typically speaking, you would use size to beat the Raptors. But the Pacers, I thought, actually found more success going even smaller when they had guys like Isaiah Jackson playing center, when they had like four guards on the floor. And just the way they moved the ball, you know, the pace of play, the fact that they had multiple ball handlers, how efficient and unselfish they were swinging it. The Raptors were just chasing shadows for the entire game. I mean, the Pacers started the game slowly, but outside of that, they just like, they torched the Raptors. And of course, we know the Pacers have a really good offense. We know the Raptors have a really bad defense. But, you know, it is still a bit dispiriting when it's like, okay, it's players on the Pacers who, you know, they are more talented, you know, I would say, but also like there's a better system in place for a lot of these guys to come in and execute. And they did a great job of just imposing their will. You know, the Pacers, especially when they get into this mode, they can certainly overrun you. They got a lot of options. Their second unit versus the Raptors second unit wasn't particularly close. And this is on a night where the Raptors second unit wasn't that bad. Like I mentioned, Bruce Brown had a really solid game coming off the bench. Nwora did a bit of scoring. But, you know, when you have like Obi Toppin on the other side, who was knocking down threes, throwing down like dunk contest level dunks on the fast break, just enjoying himself. When you see TJ McConnell, who is just like a perpetual thorn on the Raptors side, dribbling around, getting under the paint, and then taking that turnaround 5-foot jumper, which is, you know, just as far as signature shots go, it is one of the more unique signature shots. But TJ obviously very efficient with that. Ben Shepherd, was the rookie, was really, really aggressive on defense. And even though he didn't shoot a good percentage, did a really good job on both ends of the floor. You know, and then, of course, you know, they just have, you know, actual stars. Like Tyrese Haliburton is excellent. And we didn't even have to see the best of Tyrese tonight. You know, he was, you know, very much obviously in the point guard role, but did a good job distributing, touched the paint a lot. You know, next action basketball for the Pacers, they just consistently generate downhill pressure. They touch the paint pretty much whenever they wanted. Haliburton obviously being the leader in that whole category, but they, you know, it just was night and day in terms of the quality, especially after the first quarter, where the Raptors did start off well. And if you're looking for positives, I would say that, you know, the Raptors did catch the Pacers by surprise a little bit. Javon Freeman Liberty was the majority of that surprise. I mean, coming off a couple games where he was mad quiet, you know, 4 points against Milwaukee, 0 points against Washington, kind of inefficient, obviously, or ineffective both of those games. Comes in this one and immediately has 9 points in the first quarter, you know, or 14 points in the first quarter. Oh my God. Driving, you know, into the paint, you know, pull up mid-range, open three, knock it down, steal, run the other way, dunk, rebound in traffic, put back over Pascal, diving on the floor for loose balls, you know, getting fouled again by Pascal. Like, you know, I thought Javon just brought a great energy to this game, and I think it caught the Pacers off guard for sure. I mean, he is the guy in the starting group. I mean, maybe it's between him and Ochai. Ochai did go 0 for 6 in this game. But I thought, yeah, just Javon put a lot of pressure on them, and it's by far his best game as a pro in the NBA level. He's had some good performances in the G League that's allowed him to get called up to the Raptors. That and also the fact that the Raptors have pivoted and also have had such short rosters. But still, Javon's played well, and he's earned his chance to come play with the Raptors. And 20 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal on 7 of 10 shooting. A lot of this self-generated as well, which is always very promising because he had a couple nice drives to the basket, you know, got himself some open threes, or, you know, things like this. But he just did a really good job. And I think in the last couple of games, we've seen him kind of corkscrew and just like so single-minded at getting to the rim that it was leading to opportunities where it was very easy for him to get swatted, and it just wasn't, you know, helping out the offense. But tonight I thought he did a much, much better job of that in general, just picking out the right reads and all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, he had a good game. You know, aside from that, I thought Gary, even though he has been excellent of late, you know, really struggled in this one. You saw the frustration in him. I mean, it's not just the 0 for 7 from 3 or the 7 of 19 from the field, which obviously are pretty poor marks. Even 2 of 4 from the foul line isn't good. But you could see the frustration, the amount of times that he went in hard and drove, you know, looking for a call or expecting contact, you know, on a 3, on a drive. And, you know, you could tell, like, there's twice where he attacked the basket and didn't get the call and just kind of, like, sat there on the floor frustrated for a little bit and didn't ultimately get back into the play. I mean, first off, obviously, that's not acceptable. You definitely need to be able to get back into the play. But you could see the emotion and the frustration in this game for Gary, who, you know, was trying to take a seriously, was trying to play hard, but just nothing was kind of going off for him. It's not just the referees, too. Obviously, he missing shots is missing shots. And we know Gary's a high-caliber shooter. But, yeah, I mean, it was a struggle. And, in fact, he actually bailed out his performance with some pretty good ones in the fourth quarter, a couple driving layups, a couple cuts. I think that's the thing that's been nice to see from Gary this year is, like, you know, along with everyone else in the Raptors' offense, he's learned to cut a lot better. And he was able to find his way to you know, a couple of easy buckets by, you know, back cutting, by making just good reads, you know, sealing certain guys and things like that. So, you know, I do think that there was, even though this is not a good game for Gary, he found a way to at least not make it a total negative. He did find ways to improve, but in general, it was not the strong performances we've become accustomed to. Offensively for the Raptors, you know, they did have 123 points, which is, you know, one of the things for the Pacers is they just suck on defense, obviously. But I thought Kelly did a really good job defensively or offensively, you know, generating opportunities to score. You know, for Kelly, he certainly knows how to exaggerate contact and is very subtle and very, very clever with, you know, pretty much everything that he does. You know, some pass fakes, some ball fakes tonight that were really, really clever for him to get himself free, to get himself open for threes, to get himself, you know, chances to score. And then, of course, you know, he's also really good at, you know, seeking out contact and turning that into fouls. And the Raptors did see Kelly go to the foul line for 10 of the team's 33 attempts. Like, the Raptors definitely did get lots of calls in this one, you know, to be clear. But in any case, Kelly did a really good job of just, like, especially, again, with other guys being back in the lineup and not him having to be the only, you know, conductor on the floor, all of a sudden Kelly can then be more natural in terms of finding that ability to play make, but also being an option to catch, roll. And, you know, Kelly's never rolling hard and thundering to the basket. What he's always going to do, though, is make himself available for the catch and then pump fake, use his pace, use spin moves, you know, use his size, and just get to efficient offense in the lane. And he did a great job, 22 points on 6 of 7 shooting, made it his only 3 of the game, and went 9 of 10 from the foul line. 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, you know, whatever. You would have liked to see more defense. I think defensively, obviously, Kelly was giving up a lot. That's just part and parcel with this whole game. Like, you know that he's not going to be a strong defender, and the Raptors are going to suffer as a whole when you have your center, in this case, your starting center, typically be the backup when Jakob's available. But, yeah, I mean, you know, he's not going to – playing Kelly a lot at center, especially in this type of team, is going to guarantee you some pretty poor defensive results. RJ, also kind of had a frustrating game, kind of like Gary. I mean, RJ, since he's coming back, the turnovers have been quite high. Like, we've seen a couple 5-turnover, 6-turnover games, stuff like that. You know, we've also seen a couple times where he's just, like, forced his shot trying to get in. You know, I thought he, more than anyone else, probably had a bigger case for shooting more than 3 free throws. I know the Raptors, again, like, shot a lot of free throws, but RJ took a lot of contact, and I would say his whistle was just not that strong, and you could tell how frustrated he was. He picked up a tech, which I don't even think that might be his first tech as a Raptor, to be honest, because, you know, he's typically a guy who, despite playing really physical and really, like, a, you know, blue-collar type of game, he's really, you know, like, he's not just on the outside splashing a bunch of shots. He's, like, always looking to get in, taking contact. For a guy who does take that kind of punishment, he does do a decent job of not complaining too much. I feel like drivers are typically the ones who want the call, especially each and every time. But I think RJ had a good case here. In any case, he still did finish effectively. 10 of 19 from the field is not bad. 0 for 3 from 3. They're all just catch and shoots, so I'm happy he took them. It's not like he over-relies on them. He doesn't. He's obviously a guy who wants to go to the bucket. You know, I think he could have picked the spots better, but that's something I say about RJ, like, every single game. Like, there's obviously going to be certain moments where he looks a little bit too over-aggressive, and it's going to lead to inefficiency. But generally speaking, RJ has been really engaged, and I thought, you know, in his 33 minutes, he finished with 23 points is a solid amount. I just do want to see, number one, a little bit more defensively, and also, number two, just, like, picking the right spots. Because, like, ultimately, he did use a lot of possessions, too. Like, the points are high, but the 5 turnovers is also really high. 19 shots is also quite high. But in any case, like, I didn't mind it. I think challenging a team like the Pacers, who aren't that strong defensively themselves, I always thought RJ could really get into the paint, you know, especially the less and less Miles Turner played. Turner plays kind of lazily and kind of, like, floats back at the rim quite a bit, and, you know, he can contest shots. But generally speaking, the Raptors have been doing a good job of just, like, making paint touches, whether that's off the dribble or just in the cases of, like, guys cutting to the basket, you know, reading the sequences and being able to back cut and stuff like that. So you saw that from RJ on both fronts. You saw that from Gary, mostly with the cutting. You would have loved to seen it from Ochai. Ochai going 0 for 6 in this game is a bit tough. I do like the fact that he got 3 blocks. And it is a bit of a specialty for Ochai, where he's able to jump really well and extend really well off of 1 foot. So you saw a lot of those where he's able to get the block despite covering a guy on the drive, and he's kind of, like, side by side with the guy. If he somehow, even if Ochai's even a step behind, he's able to really explode out of that sort of, like, you know, running position. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, he's got to be set, loaded, all that kind of stuff. He's just natural athletic, where he's able to take off on, you know, on 1 foot and just contest a couple of shots and honestly block a couple of shots. I think that's the thing that's really impressive. It does help compensate for the fact that he is smaller as compared to most defensive stoppers, but, you know, that little bit of athleticism, that bit of extra burst, is something that's going to serve him really well as a defender. Offensively, of course, you know, you're going to need more than what he showed tonight. An 0 for 6, you know, 0 for 2 from the three-point line, just wasn't that involved, quite frankly, offensively. But also part of that is because the skill set is not advanced enough, doesn't create anything off the dribble. Catch and shoot largely is that's his game, but, you know, he can obviously be quite, you know, he's not like a knockdown shooter by any means. Like, it's not so ineffective, but I do think that there's work to be done to improve his catch and shoot game. And then, you know, finishing at the basket is mostly just, like, cutting and bursts and stuff like that. I mean, transition a little bit too. He's been finishing well in the opportunities, the few opportunities that he gets, but still tonight was not one of those nights. Second unit, I mean, you know, I don't even want to talk about McDaniels anymore, so I'm just going to skip it. I think everyone knows exactly what I would say. I think the only thing I would want to highlight is the fact that there was a play where he literally got tied up by Doug McDermott, which is whatever, like, whatever, you get tied up on a drive, whatever, but you're like, okay, well, it's still a 6'10" guy in McDaniels versus Doug McDermott, who at this point is in year, like, what, 10, 15, or whatever, he's a veteran of this league, and you're like, okay, at least we're probably going to win the jump ball, and, like, it wasn't even close. Doug McDermott, like, easily outjumped, you know, McDaniels, and that's the thing. I'm just like, there's no way you're telling me that Jalen McDaniels, who is taller, who's younger, who's more athletic, gets outjumped by that, but that's all that there is. And, you know, it's just a stretch of bad play every time he comes into the game. It's just, like, without fail, that's exactly what's going to happen. The only thing that I was actually carrying the bench forward was Bruce Brown, who, you know, seems to be a well-liked player. You saw a lot of his former Pacers teammates greet him and things like that. Same thing with Wara as well. Those two guys both had lots of chats with everybody before the game. And, yeah, I mean, Bruce Brown, I thought in this game, like, you know, similar to the games he played against Denver, like really kind of stepped it up a notch and was much more aggressive and, you know, created his own shot, looked much more focused too, I would say, more than anything else. You know, hitting these runners, little floaters, you know, the typical Bruce Brown stuff. Like, he's not going to go off with like some crossovers and some pull up threes. It's going to be some tricky footwork, some like quick, you know, push shots, things like this, you know. But yeah, I mean, I thought Bruce did really well tonight. And it does show me that there's levels to his game. Because that's like, okay, lots of times you see him like being real quiet. But in this one, you see him actually extending himself and, you know, really, you know, being able to showcase what he's got. And it's like, if he played like this all the time, if he had, quite frankly, the same motivation as it was like playing against your own team, if you just played at this intensity all game, you would get a lot more result for what you would see from him. But you also see, like, obviously lots of Bruce Brown games where he's just like much, much below this level. So you just want to see some consistency there. But of course, whatever, it's kind of water under the bridge. We'll see if he's even a Raptor long term. A couple more games left in the season. Wara, it's really unfortunate that he got injured, because he did have a couple moments there in the second half where, you know, knocking down some threes. Just an offensive skill set there for sure. 11 points in 19 minutes. Even against the Pacers is a pretty good result. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. Like, I thought he did a really good job going up against his former team. There's obviously a couple times where he gets, you know, really, really out of position defensively. I just don't think he's got the fundamentals, or he's, like, particularly disciplined in that front. There's one play, for example, where he was guarding Aaron Nesmith. And Nesmith is a decent offensive player. He can be quite aggressive. But, like, you know, Nesmith drove against him, and you saw Wara completely set his feet in the opposite direction, so then he had to turn his whole body to try to catch up on the drive. And when he finally did that, he ends up giving up the foul and the and one. Like, so there's lots of things like that where defensively he's got to improve on, but offensively there's definitely a player there, and, you know, there's something there. And then Malik Williams, big body, he can rebound. You know, he was the biggest player on the court tonight, especially when Miles Turner wasn't on. You know, got a couple tip backs. That's good. But generally speaking, like, you saw him miss a lot of point blank layups. And stuff that's like deflating for the team. Like, Bruce Brown set him up for a gorgeous look right out of the basket, and he just absolutely smoked it. Then he took an open three at one point, which is like, you know, I know that's a bit of your game, but also at the same time, like, you got to know that in a game where you're missing layups, like point blank layups, that, you know, taking an open three, even if it's so open, isn't necessarily the proposition that it looks to be. But in any case, you know, Malik Williams also, I mean, he also misses 2 free throws too, which is really tough. But, you know, he was active. He's a big body around the glass. We'll see if he's a Raptor long term. He's on a 10-day, literally, just to finish out the year. But I mean, like, is he even on the team, you know, come summer league? Is he on the team come, you know, I don't know, training camp next year? He's on a 10-day, so he's here. He's giving a couple of minutes, and at least it's decent of the Raptors to give him a little bit of a look. But in any case, you rest Emmanuel Quickley, who's been, you know, the Raptors' best player in the last few games here. You rest him. Back-to-back coming up, they haven't played RJ, you know, back-to-backs recently, so I doubt RJ plays. You might see Kelly get another night off. Like, we're probably, after that two-game, you know, bit of competitiveness and everything like that, you might probably see the Raptors, you know, going back to essentially what we've seen for most of the season, which is just uncompetitive basketball that is there to be played. And despite everything that they say about, like, okay, you know what, we haven't seen, you know, players let go of the rope, we haven't seen this and that, I mean, I think we also can see the result on the floor too. Like, giving up 140 like it's nothing, you know, losing by 40 like it's nothing, like, you know, it's look, you could say all you want, but, like, the actions are pretty clear too, and it's a work in progress, you know, and of course you would ideally like to see it improving, but there's not a guarantee of that happening. And so that's where you really want to, you know, just be hopeful that they are truly working towards something, because for the first time in a long time, the Raptors are really back in the wilderness of, like, no real culture, no real guarantee that they're going to win and compete on a night-to-night basis. There's no, like, consumer confidence in that idea. And that can be quite scary. Like, let's be honest, right? We've been really, I wouldn't even say spoiled. We've just been really treated well in terms of, you know, seeing the Raptors get results. And, you know, there was very little result to be had tonight and in many other games. So, of course, if you want to say that's all part of tanking, sure. But it's not so simple as flipping a switch. You accept losing at some point, and then, at, you know, going forward, you might not be able to flip that switch on towards winning. But, hey, listen, you got to find a way to reset at some point. You got to find a way to make it all work, and we're getting closer to that moment, hopefully, in the future. So before I hand out 3 stars, I want to give you a message from our sponsor. Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? after this recap, I hope so. Nothing else more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level. See if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Okay, your 3 stars from this performance. I'm going to give the first star to Kelly Olynyk. I thought he played really well. 22 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. 6-7 from the field. Knocked down his 3, 9-10 from the foul line. Just really good stuff from Kelly. Defensively, they're going to have to help him out. But offensively, he helps everybody out, and he's a really good player. Your second star, I'm going to give that to Javon Freeman Liberty. He got the Raptors off to a great start. That's why the Raptors got off to that lead. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. 7-10 shooting, 2-3 from 3, 4-4 from the foul line. It's a really nice bounce back performance based on the last couple games. And, you know, Freeman Liberty hasn't even been playing as much since Quickley's gone in. But, you know, you saw him take the opportunity today. And if there's only one more week left in the season, there's probably going to be a lot of minutes for Javon. And hopefully we see more of this. But in any case, he acquitted himself well. And I like the fact that he was able to get himself to the basket from a standstill position a couple of times. That is a skill to be able to get to the hoop. Of course, that goes without saying. And then your third star, I'm going to give it to Bruce Brown. 15 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 7-12 shooting from the field. Reminding us that he is a quality player. The fit necessarily hasn't been great here. And obviously the motivation of going from winning in the championship to this specific kind of situation could obviously be different, and it could be an adjustment. But ultimately, you saw at least a good version of Bruce tonight. So, yeah, he's getting the third star for that. Your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's going to go to Obi Toppin. 23 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, block. 10 of 14, 3 of 7 from 3. I just watching him warm up and stuff, I'm like, damn, this guy can really, really shoot. And, you know, I've obviously he's been a guy who has made some threes, but, you know, seeing him knock it down to this degree, along with the athleticism, along with the open pace that the Pacers play with, along with the fact that he's coming off the bench, like, yeah, he was really impressive tonight. A real spark plug for the Pacers. But a lot of guys could have, you know, got this. I thought TJ McConnell, basically his name should be the Gerald Henderson Award at this point. Like, he's made to torch opposing teams and make you feel bad and frustrated. But in any case, the Raptors are where they are. The season is wrapping up close to an end here. It's going to be very sad. It always is very sad for me to, like, you know, wrap up. I know, like, you know, this season has been disappointing, and you've heard me talk about it, like, hundreds of times, basically, this season. And, you know, I'm sure for fans, it's even more frustrating paying to see the product and, you know, getting used to one thing and then seeing how difficult and how different it is now. But at the end of the day, like, I'm looking at all these people right now who are taking photos on the court, you know, a lot of staffers, a lot of people who work hard at producing a product night in and night out for this thing. And it is a giant enterprise. And you know, I know that I'm part of that as well in the media and seeing this team. And yeah, even being here in the last game, even though the game was a frustrating one for sure, you know, I certainly have the space to step back and look at it and really appreciate the fact that, yeah, like this is really cool. And I'm always going to miss it when it's not here. You know what I mean? Like, last home game of the season, seeing the crowd, seeing, even just honestly, like, feeling the swell of emotion when, you know, a crowd's trying to cheer and rally for the team, even when they necessarily haven't played like they deserved it. The feeling of that community, of like that feeling of that, like, collectiveness of pushing when it looks to be lost, like, that's beautiful to me. And we saw that on multiple occasions tonight. The fans are always going to support. The fans are always going to be cheering. And you just hope that you're taking a temporary step back and can get back to the highs that we've seen in this franchise. Like, it might take a while, but, you know, even just getting back to establishing the standards of, like, you know, we expect to compete, we expect to play well. Hopefully we get back to that. But in any case, it's always a very, very appreciative experience for me to be able to watch this, to be able to cover this, to be able to be around the players, be in the building. It's always something that I truly, truly enjoy and appreciate. And regardless of sort of what the results are, the love is always going to be so strong for the organization. And that's, I mean, that's never going to change. And I know that's the same for most people. So hopefully they turn around, but even if they don't, we will be here. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Appreciate everyone for following along to the Reaction Podcast. Of course, there's going to be 3 more this season. We will obviously be back tomorrow, for example, after the Nets game, and then the 2 games over Miami over the weekend. And, yeah, you know, Raptors obviously wrapping up because the Raptors season is wrapping up. But still, again, I kept saying this to everybody because I kept saying it to everyone that I see around the arena. And at this point, I'm very fortunate to know a lot of people here. Just saying, hey, it's the last one. And then I would always say to people, like, I'm going to miss it when it's gone, and so will you. And yeah, I already found myself very much missing Scotiabank Arena, despite the fact that we've seen a lot of bad results here. So, yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate everyone for listening, of course. That's all possible because people listen. And, yeah, you've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. I'll be back tomorrow.